This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
The number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
I'm every trash, EMT for short. Wonder if we best, what you people score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shower with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And a very good Tuesday morning to you and yours, November the 30th, 2021. The show is DPHRO and Rothenberg, and Hanukkah, night two, a tremendous success because Max Scherzer, and no one would go out on a limb and say it's going to get done. We thought it would yesterday. It is now done. Oh, a very very good morning to you, Rick DiPietro. Very good morning.
Very good morning, David. And you did it again. Don't bury the lead. You did it again. You said it as the show was ending yesterday. What was going to happen? You asked me. I said, all right, it'll get done. And you just flippantly just throw out the number. Just throw it right out. Yeah, it's going to be a three-year deal. Three-year deal around 130. No big deal. Dave Rothenberg's got sources, and I want to know who it is immediately.
I can't. Yeah, I had a feeling, and it got done, and I feel great about it, and I think every Mets fan should. By the way, you're going to have to carry the show today. You're going
now,
to
what happened
you.
Now?
Well, here's what happened, and I think there's a good chance that you're going to make fun of me tremendously, but I think if anybody who understands the pain that goes, it gets involved with this kind of thing, that you really should say, you know what, I've got you, and let me carry. So, you don't play fantasy football, right?
I'm done. I've quit. Yeah, I quit fantasy football.
And I'll tell you why you've quit. Now, I told the guys before the show, I said, I'm really upset. And RJ said, it's either the dogs or it's fantasy football. And I said, am I that transparent that I could be this upset and it's either the dogs or fantasy football? He says, I stand by this. It's dogs or it's fantasy football. So, I told the guys, and I'm in seven leagues, but there's really one that I care about by far the most, okay? I'm down 20 points last night, and I have Alex Collins, who is useless, by the way. Useless. but in fact, a starting running back on a team, but useless. I have Terry McLaurin, who is very useful and a very nice receiver, and I have Travis Kelce. But Travis Kelce's on bye. So I think ahead, and I look, and I scour, and I pick up Logan Thomas. Oh, that's a good pickup. Logan Thomas, who's been out for 6 weeks, going to make his return. Good pass-catching tight end. Very smart move by me. And I'm down 20 points with three guys. So it's like the odds are distinctly in my favor. And I don't like the way it's playing out. We get to halftime, I'm down like seven. And then we get to the second half, and Collins starts losing time to the great DJ Dallas. And then McLaurin with a 20-yard catch, and now I'm down four. Logan Thomas with a catch. Now I'm down 0.3, 135.3 to 135, okay? With about 7 minutes to go, I'm fine. But Washington now runs the ball and the short passes and runs the ball. And now there's like 2 minutes left. I'm like, oh my God, I'm down 0.3. And they decide on a fourth down, we're going to go for it. The kicker, God knows how the man who is the backup kicker can't come out and kick a 22-yard field goal, but he can't. So we're going to go for it on fourth down. And Taylor Heinicke drops back, looks, surveys, looks, and he spots Logan Thomas just standing there. All I need is one catch. I'm down 0.3. Could be a catch for minus 2 yards. I'm down 0.3, okay? Catches it, touchdown, game over. Whew. I turned to Sherry. I said, boy, that was stressful. Got the win. Huge win. I give her a kiss goodnight. Sweetie, great night. See you in the morning. Wait a moment. was his hand under the ball, or did the ball, in fact, touch the ground? And I think back to the game on Sunday night where David Njoku doesn't catch the pass, but they call it a touchdown. It's called a touchdown. They don't see anything to overturn it. They continue along, and that's going to continue to be a touchdown. So my thought is, that's a touchdown. And then they bring in the great John Perry, and John's like, listen, they called it a touchdown. I don't see anything, any reason to overturn it. It should, in fact, be a touchdown. Great. Thank you, John. Share good night. See you in the morning. This was stressful, but we got it done. No. They run out. That it hit the turf. No touchdown. Seattle's ball. And I am livid. Strangely livid. So I take my computer on the bed, and I toss it onto the floor. I punch the wall. And Sherry says the most bizarre thing to me. Like, the most bizarre thing.
She goes, You're an animal?
No, she goes, well, they're talking about on the broadcast. And she knows football a little bit. She goes, they're talking about on the broadcast. Seattle still, they still have, you know, Russell Wilson, and they still have a chance to come back and win. I said, I don't care who wins. That you're missing the point. So then Seattle does, in fact, have a chance to win. And they come onto the field. And I think to myself, all right, if Alex Collins is in the backfield on this drive, he gets one catch, that's it. No, it's DJ Dallas the entire drive. But they go down and they score a touchdown. And I think to myself, boy, if they get this two-point conversion, we go overtime. Thomas, McLaurin, that will. They don't get the two-point conversion. I lose by 0.3. I'm not exaggerating. It took me, I mean, I'm exhausted last night. It's approaching midnight. It took me a good 15 minutes to fall asleep. I am beyond incensed this
morning. You
want
to see the matter?
Beyond.
Well, two things, though, and I get it. I would be incensed, too, is how you fell asleep, I have no idea, because there's no way I would have been able to fall asleep, because that's terrible.
Oh, I'm still up. Literally, this will probably ruin today.
And the second part of that is, I give you a ton of credit. Maybe it's because you're watching your future quarterback play. I don't know how you stayed up for the second half of that game.
Mr. Unlimited.
I watched the first half. I said, I'll tape the rest. I'm not going to continue to watch this.
Well, here's what happens, though. You are the guy that wakes up extra early to consume what you missed, right? Like, you woke up at what time this morning?
2:15.
Okay. So you went to bed at, sounds like 9:30, woke up at 2:15. I do the exact opposite. I watch all the games at night and sleep until the last possible minute, which I woke up at 4:15 this morning. So we both consumed it. We just do it differently.
Yeah, but I had the pleasure of being able to fast forward to the commercials, which is nice. Especially when Seattle goes 3-0 five straight times.
What do you still think? I mean, I guess he is, but what?
It's his finger, man.
Russell Wilson.
His finger's
a mess, right?
Yeah, his finger's a mess. He probably shouldn't be back. I mean, you think about that second finger, how important that is to throwing a football. He just doesn't look. He didn't forget how to play quarterback.
No. And Gerald Everett was wide open on two separate plays. And
I know.
He wasn't even that's not Russell Wilson.
No, but I will tell you this, though. As bad as he was, he still marched his team all the way down the field and scored the touchdown and gave them a chance to tie it, I mean.
There was no one at the game.
No.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
That's a team. That's a playoff team now. They won the game. They are now the 7th seed in the NFC. There was nobody at the game.
No, it's still, I mean, you made the point, too. Yeah, listen, I mean, yeah, I guess, I mean, they're in the playoffs now. But I don't know, man. That team all season, between their defense, I mean, it's just, they're playing better football now. But I can understand why, with the owner that they have and everything else. I mean, they don't have a name yet. I mean, they're the Washington football team. I mean, I'm gonna go spend my hard-earned money to go support that. I don't know. I give Rosenberg credit. I don't know how he does it.
Well, please, how he does it? He went to the game for free last night.
No, I know. I understand. But my point is, I'm watching it. I would definitely, if I'm a Washington football fan, I'm watching it. But am I on a Monday night, am I going out of my way to go watch a Washington football game? No, I'm not.
All right, but 2 weeks ago they hosted Tom Brady and Tampa, and no one went to the game. At 1 o'clock on a Sunday.
Yeah, but I would imagine that a lot of the fan base is disgusted with ownership at this point. No,
it seems that. And did you see what they had last night again?
Another sewage leak.
Yep, sewage leak from the upper deck onto the onto the mezzanine. Yeah,
you laugh. I told you that happened to our locker room. We came home from a road trip, and there was like 3 feet of sewage water just floating in the locker room. They're like, I don't worry about it. We'll take care of it.
Oh, God. That's awful.
I know.
I can't think of many things worse than just raw sewage.
Oh, the locker room smelled so bad, dude. So
oh, of course
bad.
Of course. They could borrow my dogs and really put a doozy on here. Really get you. All right. So
am I that transparent? Yeah. You're paper thin. There's two things. It's fantasy football or it's the dogs.
You should have heard him, though. I said, I am in such a mood. And without like hesitation, Art is like, all right. It's either the dogs or it's fantasy football. And away you go.
See, I would have thrown one more in the mix. The way you initially were going into it, I thought maybe it was your back acting up.
So I had that. Back. That's getting better. But that wouldn't get me angry. Like I was angry. Like angry. I took my computer and I tossed it. Like it didn't place it on the side on the floor. Tossed it. And Sherry goes, What's the matter with you? You're going to break that thing. And my response, because I apparently am so transparent.
You want to see the matter?
I don't care.
Oh, my.
She says you'll care in the morning when you don't have a computer. I don't care. Oh, so upset.
Yeah, punch right in the face.
Took the treadmill and I smashed it into the window. Treadmill through the blind, through the window.
Yeah, I don't understand people like you. Like they do, like they want to break their stuff because they're mad.
It makes no sense to me. I'll tell you what it is. I don't want to. I don't go into it like, oh, you know what would be great? If I broke my computer. It's in that moment. I'm in such an emotional despair that I don't care. I have this amazing ability to not care about the outside normal world. And I'm so angry in that moment, I just don't care. As you've heard over the years, what I've done.
No, I know, but it's just more work. Like, I mean, Sherry's right. And this is why Sherry and I mean, we're almost spirit animals, both coaches, really.
Yeah, but
good coaches.
But you know what it is?
Because you have the ability to just, you know, this is not going to be the smart thing to do in this moment. It's called self-control, I think.
Right. But because you're an adult and Sherry's an adult. And I've told you I'm a child. I am a large, somewhat functional, complete child is what you're dealing with here on the show. I'm not kidding.
A 48-year-old child is what
child.
We're dealing with.
Oh, 100%. 100%. I'm a baby. You're a baby.
Like, I see these videos. And I don't understand. Like, the people that are watching the football games and they get real upset and they take their beautiful flat screen TV and they.
Oh, I could not relate to those people anymore. Those are my people.
I don't get it. Now it's just more work for you. Now, like as mad as you are in that moment, now once you snap back into it, it's like, oh God, now I got to replace this TV. What did I do?
I've told you about the remote controls, right? When I used to live in the city.
You threw out the apartment window.
I used to rip them in half. Like it was a Ginsu commercial. I used to take them and rip them. I'd walk it, and I'd have to go like seven blocks and two avenues over and the next day and not have a remote control and walk in. And I used to walk in. It's a city of 7 million people. Hey, Dave, how you doing? I was like, Norman Cheers. I walked in there all the time. I really got issues.
Listen, when my sister-in-law comes up for Christmas, maybe we'll have her on so she can break you down a little bit.
I would like that. I would like that. Something's not right.
No, I think we've established that. I think it's clear.
Something.
I think that's what makes you relatable, though, is that you are a little off.
No, but I don't think that there are people that hear this and are like, oh, I get it. That makes perfect sense to me. I think I'm probably turning more people off right now than people are relating and saying, yeah, I get Rothenberg.
No.
You wouldn't take your computer and like toss it next to you. You wouldn't do that.
No, I wouldn't. Well, I think that's what makes the show great, right? Like, I wouldn't do that. I have the self-control not to do that because it's more of a hassle. Like, as mad as I am in that moment, it's like do I really want to have to go buy a new laptop or a new iPad? No, I don't want to go buy a new iPad, so I'll suck it up, be mad, and then I'll get over it.
Yeah, but very adult-like of you. Like, whatever that little mechanism is in the brain that recognizes you shouldn't do these things because there's repercussions, I don't think I have it.
No, but I guarantee you open the lineup right now, the lines will be lit.
I don't think
I'm
so.
I'm just like you, Dave. Dave, I told a story about having a thing where I now sneeze before I have sexy time, and we had how many people call and say, oh, I also sneeze before I have sexy time?
Yeah, but I think that's more relatable. I think sneezing before...
No, it's not.
I think it is. I thought it was after sexy time, wasn't it?
What do you mean you think it is?
I think that's more relatable. I think there's a larger faction of the listening audience that's like, yes, I have sexy time, and then I become hypoallergenic or allergenic, whatever the phrase is, as opposed to something bad happens in fantasy football. You have a win ripped away from you, and now you toss your computer up into the air. I think I'm a man on an island. You're a man that has company.
No, I'll tell you what, because Santiago just whispered in my ear, how many sticks did you break when you got upset? And he makes a good point, because when I was younger, I would break a lot of sticks.
Yeah.
But then I knew I turned the corner when at one point I was about to break the stick. And I thought, my first thought was, if I break this stick, I'm going to have to tape a brand new stick. I have no interest in taping another stick.
See, and how old are you? 12?
No. This was later. This was later on. This was probably college-ish.
But that was like your moment. That was your line in the sand where you actually thought, okay, I'm immature. I can't control myself. If I do this, the result will be that something bad happens. You were college 18, 19. I'm 48.
Well, maybe you'll have that coming of age moment where you just realize in that moment
you're
about to slam
when
your
I'm at dinner at 5:15. When I'm what? When I'm 76. I really.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
I mean, I'm the same kid who was playing tennis when I was a child, and I smashed a kid in the face with a racket.
Yeah, but that's a kid's face. I mean, at least you've taken that step where it's your own personal belongings now. It's not.
That's
other
true.
You
see the good in me. I've taken this step where now it's only hurting myself.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast,
and welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
John Morosi tweeted 3 hours ago. So right when you awake at 2:25 this morning, Javi Baez deal with the Tigers close to being completed, expected to be 6-year deal.
I'm surprised he's only getting 6.
Yeah, especially with what Corey Seager got yesterday.
Well, what Semien got too. I mean, Semien got 7. I mean, what
Semien
Texas
got 7. And Baez has to be younger than Semien.
Well, Semien got 7. I mean, Seager gets 10. How's that middle infield? Half a billy in the middle infield.
That's a lot of money.
That's spending it.
So it looks like, I mean, listen, we're excited, and we should be. I mean, if you're a Mets fan, you wake up today and you're just thrilled. But I think a lot of people still wanted to keep Javi Baez, and it looks like that's not going to happen, that he'll probably wind up in Detroit.
Yeah, see, I don't know. I mean, it's clear that the Mets, I mean, in... You know, as a Mets fan, you have to be ecstatic at the moment, right? Like the whole
you have to be.
It's too much. Stop. It's not your money. It's not gonna prevent Steve Cohen from spending more money.
Why would anybody? I don't understand why you would have that mindset of that's just too much money. Who cares?
Well, because the Mets fans we're not used to having nice things. This is a different time now. He's got enough money where, you know, if God forbid things don't work out, we're not going to be hamstrung because the money is already spent. We have more money to spend. There's no salary cap in baseball. So just enjoy the fact that now we have the best 1-2 punch in baseball.
Could you imagine if the Mets actually get to a postseason?
No.
What that rotation would look like?
No, I can imagine. Yeah, I mean, it's... I mean, who wants to face that?
Nobody.
I'm going to pitch DeGrom game 1 and Scherzer game 2?
Absolutely nobody. Nobody. And we had a feeling it was going to get done. And the story, and you mentioned it yesterday... surrounding Scherzer was that he didn't want to come to the East Coast. It was that why would the Nationals trade him to a team in the National League East? So you couple the fact that he didn't have a disdain for New York or the East Coast, and the Mets have more money that they could throw at him than anybody else, and he's now a member of the New York Mets.
Yeah, but this is how you take advantage of having the richest owner in baseball. That's your advantage. That when now all of a sudden it's... I mean, he's in the Dodgers too, which is, I mean, a team that, you know, clearly we'll go out and spend money, but we're going to be somewhat financially responsible. We'll go 2 years. And Steve Cohen's like, no. All right, you go 2 years, I'm willing to go that extra third year.
That's right.
And you saw it a couple different times. I mean, Marte probably got an extra year, but he wanted to get that deal done. But as far as the Baez thing is concerned, I don't know how much of that has to do with the fact, too, that I think it was from the moves that they've already made. And this is me on the outside looking in, but from everything I heard, and I think you've heard the same stuff, is that clubhouse was a mess last year, and they're trying to really really work on tightening that clubhouse up. And I think you've seen that in some of the signings. I don't know how that dynamic between, and I know they're really close friends, between Lindor and Baez affected the overall chemistry of the clubhouse.
It almost felt like it, because Lindor is a free spirit and he's going to do what he wants to do. It almost feel like it felt like it empowered him, and he became a little bit even, I don't want to say crazier, but more difficult, and empowered him by bringing Baez in.
Well, I think it split the clubhouse is what I think happened. And that's the last thing you want to have. And I think that's part of the reason why Stroman isn't being considered. Because he pitched great for the Mets last year.
He was terrific. So if you have a guy that's good, that's still young, that still has a lot left, that you know can handle New York, and you'd prefer to go in a different direction, something's there.
Yeah, and I think it has to do with the clubhouse.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And I mean, this is something that we've talked about with the Mets for years. No, it's the players pretty much doing whatever they want. It's do your own thing in the Mets clubhouse. And it hasn't worked. And it's about time they cleaned it up. And that's why I would love to see them sign Buck Showalter as their new manager.
I don't think I could handle it. I think it'd be too much for me.
Oh no, you could handle it.
I'd be like a teenage boy. I don't think I could handle it. I think I really believe you're gonna give me Scherzer, you're gonna give me Marte, you're gonna give me Buck Showalter. I think it would be too much for me.
No, you'd handle it. I mean, you'd probably have a perma smile with how happy you would be.
I'm excited now. I can't wait.
Of course you're excited now.
Can't wait for the start of baseball season.
Look what we just did. Look what we're doing, and look what the Yankees aren't doing right now.
I know, the Yankee fans, you just hear the upset in their voice. So angry.
They'll make deals.
Of course
I think
they
will. I think every Yankees fan, when they heard Brian Cashman say that they were going to address the shortstop position, and then you hear reports, we've met with Correa's agent, we've met with Seager's agent, and then we had Buster on, and he said, you know, he's heard Seager, he's heard Semien, and now, I mean, Semien signed,
right.
Seager signed.
Right, it's not going to be Correa.
Doesn't feel like it's going to be Correa, because that's another 10-year deal.
And Trevor Story, sounds like Colorado's now hot after to keep Trevor Story.
Yeah, see, I don't know what the Yankees do. The Yankees pivot now, and do they focus more on maybe trading for a Matt Olson at first, doing something like that, and then taking something lesser at short, just so they don't clog that up?
They might.
Something shorter term, less money, get Aaron Judge signed. I mean,
right, because you get
Judge signed to a long-term deal. Yankees fans would be excited about that.
But there's no way. We'll get to the calls in a second. I know you guys are lined up. 800-919-3776. There's no way. Like, Yankee fans are freaking out. I find it almost impossible to believe that the start of the season will happen and the Yankees will look like this. I find that very difficult to believe.
No, I think we all do. If you're a Yankees fan, I mean, that's where Yankees fans get me, though, is that I don't want to call them spoiled, but they're spoiled.
They're spoiled. I think even the Yankees fan would admit, like a real, you know, honest Yankees fan would admit they're spoiled.
But look what happened last year. I mean, Cashman sucks. We want him fired. We want Boone fired. And then before you know it, out of nowhere, he ends up trading for Joey Votto. Not Joey Votto, excuse me, Joey Gallo, who he ends up not being very good. But still, you had the left-handed bat that you're looking for. Then you bring in Rizzo. They're paying, both of these teams are paying the contracts somehow. And then you solidify your bullpen. Like, I mean, Brian Cashman is really good at what he does. And I'm sorry, I hate listening to people, Brian Cashman's overrated. He's no, come on, man, please stop with that.
You go to the postseason
every year.
Single season.
Thanks for listening to the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN. This is DPHRO and Rothenberg.
We've decided today, 7:35.
One Buster only, maybe?
Buster only.
Hey, Buster, how you doing? It's Rick DPHRO calling.
Did you book this? Did you make the call and get him on the line?
So you get a free moment, give me a call back. Look forward to hearing from you. Bye.
I'm gun-shy now.
If I make a phone call and I hear the voicemail, I immediately have to hang it up.
I can't trust myself. The second a voicemail picks up, you're just throwing the phone. Almost like a grenade has been tossed to you.
I got voicemail PTSD is what I have.
This is DPHRO and Rothenberg.
I don't know if it's something I did or if it's something Dave did, but we love you.
On 98.7 ESPN. Hey, I just
Oh, it's so good. And I hope it never goes away. DPHR Rothenberg presented, as always, by Progressive Insurance and all guests like Buster only at 7:35 this morning. Up here via the Goodyear Hotline. I don't know what's better. I don't know if it's something I did or something Dave did, but we love you. Or, okay, Buster, bye.
No, I think the I don't know if it's something that
I did
or Dave did. That's the best part. I don't know if it's something I did or if it's something Dave did, but we love you.
The best part of that to me is, but we love you. if there was someone who had a real problem, like a real issue, and there was an intervention, and you sat down and you said, here's the thing, Buster, and you played that clip, it would make sense. Do me a favor. Think about this now. You stand up. There's a circle of, I don't know, 8 or 10 people. Obviously, Buster has gone to a dark place, and you say this.
No, but see, I wouldn't say it. That's the thing, though.
I don't know if it's something I did or if it's something Dave did, but we love you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but see, that would, I think that phone call would be made to get you to the actual intervention.
I'm not going anywhere if you like that kind of voicemail.
Let's use a guy by the name of Dave, maybe, for example. It would be like, I get the phone call from Sherry. Sherry's like, Dave's disappeared. We don't know where he is. Giants just lost. You know, it's week 3. Giants just lost a heartbreaker, and he's gone. And that's when I would pick up the phone. And I don't know if it's something that I did.
I don't know if
it's something I did or if it's something Dave did, but we love you. We love you. Please come home. Please.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
And then you'd come home, and then that's when we would ambush you with that.
And there'd be a circle of people, and you'd kind of lock me in the room and say, all right, here's the thing. You have a real problem.
And here's the list of things that lead us to believe.
By the way, you know, and I understand it's not the norm to leave home for 2 days and stay at a hotel when something bad happens with the team. But that was a very long time ago at this point. That's over a decade ago.
But it happened.
It did happen.
Yeah, it happened.
But you don't have things in your past that you look at and you're like, that wasn't my finest moment.
A lot. Okay. Yeah, a lot of different things, yeah.
So the only difference is I bring it all on air.
No, I bring all my stuff up on air, too.
Well, but I'm saying, I bet you everybody listening has things that they wish that they could go back in time and say, I wish I didn't do that. I wish I was a better person than that. We all do. The only difference is mine and yours are on air. Not everybody lives their life on air like we do.
Well, isn't that part of the reason why, I mean, that cliche exists, like youth is wasted on the young? Like, I mean, I think back all the stupid, like, I'm like, why would you make that decision? You're an idiot. Why would you do that? That was stupid. I could spend a whole week of shows going over all the stupid things I did as a kid. Or as a 20-year-old. Or as a 30-year-old.
Yep.
I decided at one point it was a good idea to pull my motorcycle up into the bowels of the Coliseum, like right outside the locker room.
It's like you want people to look at you and shake their head.
It was amazing. I didn't know where to leave it.
See, I think you want people to look at you and shake their head. I just don't care what they think.
And yet we both get the same reaction.
Same exact reaction.
Did you get on the hog?
Oh, I got on the hog. I got in big trouble for that, too.
Speaking of reaction, RJ brought this up briefly in CMT, but the Knicks against the Nets tonight, 7 o'clock, right here on 98.7 ESPN. This was the only move they could make, right? Alec Burks into the starting lineup, Kemba Walker not even to the bench, it sounds like. It sounds like he's completely out of the rotation at the moment. It had to be done. What I like about this is clearly we know who's in charge. This is not Leon Rose saying, yeah, but we spent big money and we expect him to play and we looked at him as a piece of the future. Tom Thibodeau thinks we're not going to play him, it's not worth it at the moment, and he's not going to play.
Well, it wasn't huge money. I mean, it was a 2-year deal, so it's not.
You brought him in as one of the faces of the franchise. Like, he was going to be a big piece.
Yeah, it was a great story. I mean, it's the Jets trying to find a quarterback, right? It's the Knicks trying to find their point guard, and this was supposed to be the short term answer to that problem, and it hasn't worked out. I mean, the identity of a Tom Thibodeau team is, and this team is, its defense, and unfortunately, with Kemba Walker on the floor. Statistically, with him on the floor, they're the worst defensive team in basketball.
It's awful.
And the only way you could live with that is if, because he was on the floor, you all of a sudden now turned into a much better team offensively, which hasn't been the case. I mean, and when you look at the numbers, they don't lie.
It would have to be dramatic. Like, the way he plays defense or lack thereof, it would have to be dramatic how good you were offensively.
All right, so here's the numbers. So on the floor, they have the worst worst defensive rating in the league. Okay? Off the floor, they have the best defensive rating in the league. Offensively, with him on the floor, they're 27th. With him off the floor, they're 9th. Those are backwards.
Right. But this is not something even debatable. Right?
No.
I mean, the numbers are so glaring that you really only have one decision to make. Let's hear from the Knicks head coach, Tom Thibodeau, on deciding to put Alec Burks into the starting lineup.
Change. Alec's going to be the starter. I like the way that we played like that. Don't like the way we've been trending, the inconsistency of our team. Try to make a change. I want to get bigger. I want our defense to be more intact. Basically, that was it. We got to do something different.
Well, I like this. And you know what I like about this as well? Is that a lot of teams would wait until after a bad loss. You know, like you lose, say, tonight by 30 to Brooklyn. You say, all right, we're going to make this move. The Knicks had, I mean, arguably their best win of the season, but he recognizes what's happening, and he says, this has to be done. It has to be done now.
Well, I mean, that's the job of the coach, is to put, I mean, you're not just responsible for one guy and his feelings. You're responsible for the team and putting the team in the best position to win basketball games. And right now, having him on the floor does not give you the best opportunity to win basketball games. All right, here we go. Give me the music, RJ. Give me some Price is Right.
Oh, we're playing?
Price is Right. Yeah, I got a good one.
Okay.
All right, so here we go. A prize pack that includes, no. The Knicks have been outscored by how many points with Kemba Walker on the floor this season? The Knicks have been outscored by how many points with Kemba Walker on the floor this season?
How many games have they played? Like 20?
He's played 18 games, Joe.
He's played 18 games. Okay. Say the Knicks have been outscored by 216 points.
216 points?
216. Yep.
RJ Santillo?
I think we just did the same thing. Did you take 18 games and multiply times 12 points? I think we just did the same exact thing.
Well, I went first.
That's strong for you. All righty. How about... I haven't done this yet. How about...
How can we put Raymond into a pickle?
Yeah,
what
pickle
your thought
Raymond.
Process should be.
Yeah, it's pickle Raymond.
Nice round number. I'm going to say... We're going to say 200 points.
200 points. 200 points.
And the star of the show, our favorite, Raymondo, what do you have?
I don't appreciate being the monkey here. That's all I'm just saying.
All right, where are you going to go?
I'll go 201.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Ray.
Like I said, I don't appreciate being
your
monkey.
Oh, Ray. Oh, God.
Oh, my goodness. Unfortunately, you guys are all wrong. Way too high. I appreciate you think Kemba is that bad defensively. They've been outscored by 122 points.
122. So if my calculations and understanding of the game are correct, nobody wins the showcase, yes?
And nobody wins the showcase.
Oh.
All over.
So the beautiful washer dryer.
Gone.
The trip to Tahiti.
It. Yep.
Diane Parkinson, all of it. Nobody gets any of that stuff.
Computer you threw on the floor. Keeping it.
Ugh.
Speaking of washer dryer. Dryer kicked the bucket yesterday. Done.
Oh, no.
No, doesn't even nothing. Gone. Dead.
Didn't even work at all?
No. Nothing.
Telltale little boop there tells you that was on his end.
So what does that mean now?
That means I have to go get a new dryer.
Now, where are you in that process?
Apparently, I'm going this afternoon.
So this is a you take care of it, or this is a family issue?
No, this is a family. This is a family. No, this is me going and having, okay, yep, and then buying it.
So Cassie will do nothing. You will go. You will arrange. You will purchase. You will be there for the installation. And Cassie has her hands clean on this.
No, Cassie will pick it out. And then I'll be responsible for, I'll be the one that buys it. And then the one that watches it. I can't install it.
Well, obviously.
No, I mean, it's a gas dryer. I can't install it. I mean, the house will blow up.
Wainscoting, of course.
I can't wainscot.
No, of course. And why would you be able to? Now, 5G is here. But the big carriers want you to sign those pricey long-term contracts to get in on the action. Not anymore, because Straight Talk Wireless has rolled out 5G coverage nationwide with plans starting at just $35 a month with no contract. Get a Samsung Galaxy A32 5G for only $299. All on America's best networks. 5G coverage, 5G phones, less money. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. We'll get back into the baseball. We'll get to your calls on the Knicks at 1-800-919-3776. And you doing the Price is Right put me in a position where...
I still can't believe he went 201.
Nothing surprises you now with him, though, in this game. it terrifies me that if you ever go on vacation in California, Ray, and like your future wife says, let's go watch a taping of The Price is Right. And you get called up. They're like, Raymond, come on down. Don't go.
I'll run the other way.
Do not go.
No, like, just think in that moment, think, what would Rick do if he's leaving a voicemail? And then we just flee. Run away.
Just run away. Run
they
away.
Call you.
Hey, Buster, how you doing?
Out.
It's Ricky Pietro calling.
Hey, Buster, how you
aisle.
Doing? It's Ricky Pietro calling.
You run out into the aisle and you run up. you run up. All right. But the game show kind of moment, it struck me. I have put it together. Is this a real college or not?
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
I have something that upsets me a little bit, and I will read you the tweet. I know you have a love-hate relationship with this gentleman, Hinky Haynes. He says, is this a real college? Sounds suspiciously similar to the bit yesterday on the K Show called, is this person a real Texas Rangers starting pitcher? So how about when we did, is this a real college, like 2 weeks ago? Does that count at all or no?
We're still with the track record of bits on this show being stolen. Come on, right. Hinky. I mean, you listen to the show every day.
We don't steal. We have stolen from.
See, Hinky's being that guy, though. Right? Why be that guy?
I don't know.
You know you heard it on the show. It was hilarious.
It gave us a gem
when Dave just randomly, because he lost his place, starts making up names on the fly that rhymed.
Well, you know what? You got more of that treat coming your way in 4 minutes. 4 minutes from right now. Let's revisit how we started the show, and that is the Mets. Now, we had a couple people call and say it's the Mets and it's not going to work out. But realistically, when you look at this thing, and let's get the callers involved at 1-800-919-3776, what is the downside to bringing in Max Scherzer? And you've heard, it's a lot of money. It's not your money. I don't know why you out there in Radio Land care that the Mets are going to pay this guy a lot of money. Who cares? Not your money. He's terrific. Then you heard, well, he didn't really want to come to New York and he's not going to pitch well. Phooey. I don't believe that for a second. This is one of the great pitchers in the history of baseball.
No, on off the field. I mean, he was the best. And I get it. Like, I mean, I think a lot of people initially thought when they heard that the Mets were involved in this, coming, you know, on off the heels of Max Scherzer apparently doesn't want to pitch in New York, that whole story was, oh, Max Scherzer's just using the Mets. He's trying to get more money. Well, guess what? We went the extra year. We got Max Scherzer. And just to show you how broken baseball is, because we're going to a work stoppage tonight after, yep. I mean, you've seen these teams spend crazy amounts of money. You realize that Max Scherzer's $43.3 million this year, plus the $15, by the way, that he's getting in deferred money, puts him ahead of the Pirates and Baltimore Orioles' estimated current opening day payrolls.
Which is, I mean, let's be fair, is gross.
It is
such a huge monumental problem that you have individual players making more money than the entire roster of a team.
It's insane, is what it is.
It's disgusting. I mean, how is a team like a that spends no money supposed to compete with? And listen, it plays to my advantage and your advantage and Yankees fans' advantages as well, and Dodgers and all those teams. But the whole thing is preposterous.
Yeah, but you know what you should love as a Mets fan? And stop with being negative and calling in, being worried about, you know, all the different things that Mets fans are worried about. And I tell Dave this all the time, and he doesn't believe me. There are only a certain amount of owners in professional sports that are truly 100%
committed to winning, right?
All in to winning a championship. They can say they want to win a championship, but it's about making money. Steve Cohen has shown you this offseason making these moves, what he did last year locking up Lindor for 10 years, $341 million, that when he said, I expect to win a championship in the next 3 to 5 years, it was not a lie.
No, it was not idle chatter.
No, it wasn't him saying what you wanted to hear as a fan. He means it. This is what he is setting out to do.
And this is where they are right now. Let's go to Sal in Brooklyn. Good morning, Sal. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, boys. Hoping all is well, man. Thank you for taking a call.
You're very welcome.
With your boy Steve Cohen, it's not lip service. Absolutely 100%. And as a diehard Yankee fan since 1967, this is probably one of the greatest days for a Yankee fan in the sense that every time the Yankees would win, it's always been, and I've been hearing it, oh, it's the best team money can buy. And then when they lose, you're spending all that money and you can't win. So now it's going to be good to flip the script for a little bit. Let's see what happens. When you don't win, are you going to tell me the same thing? Well, we have the excuses. Or is it the best team money can buy? So, I mean, it's always got to be a balance of both. Don't get me wrong. You need some, you need your minor league system to help you along the way. But it's a good day, honestly. Honestly, it's a good day. So I don't have to hear for the last 50-plus years, it's the best team money can buy. So now you're dabbling into it as well.
Well, you'll still hear it. You'll still hear it. You might not hear it from the Mets fan, but you're still going to hear it. I mean, you think that there are fans, and Rick just went through it, fans around baseball that don't look at the Yankees and say they have and I think it's fair, an unfair advantage?
Well, it's only jealousy that you say that, because your team can't do it.
But it is, when you really think about it, it is unfair.
Well, of course it's unfair. And I mean, that's why some of the stuff you've heard coming out of this, what's going to be it seems like a heated CBA negotiation, is that they want to, what they've been trying to do the entire time, is that these teams have now, Yankees being one of them, is they use the luxury tax threshold and resetting the threshold as a upper limit to the salary cap. And now what they want to do is now have a floor, which is going to be a salary cap. That's what they're pushing for, is that teams have to spend $100 million.
And you know what? They should. They absolutely
should. Well, no, the players in baseball do not want to have a salary cap.
Well,
and that's
I
what you'll be agreeing
they
to.
They wouldn't, but they have to have some kind of a floor. Because otherwise you get these teams like the Pirates and the Rays that spend no money.
The whole thing is broken, though, Dave. I mean, just think about how, I mean, the prime of these guys' careers, for the first 6 years, you're under control, where you're making, I mean, you make no money, and then all of a sudden you become a free agent and you're getting hundreds of millions of dollars.
It really is wild. 1-800-919-3776. All right, you ready to play?
I can't wait.
Okay. You have any kind of music for me or anything? Oh, yeah, you do. You sure do. All right. Is this a real college or not? Rick, we start with you. Missouri, the Tigers, very well known. Who did they hammer in college basketball the other day? They destroyed Paul Rodman, 91-55. They beat Paul Vuvle, 91-55. Or they beat Paul Quinn, 91-55.
Ooh.
You want the names again?
Give me the names one more time, yeah.
Missouri beat Paul Rodman, Paul Quinn, or Paul Vuvle. Or they beat Glor.
Ooh. We know Glor exists now, so I can't go with Glor. Very reputable institution. I'll go with Paul Quinn.
Paul Quinn, RJ?
I'm going to say, was Paul Rodman an option?
Paul Rodman or Paul Vuvle or Paul Quinn?
I'll take Paul Rodman.
Paul Rodman and Raymond.
Can you repeat that second one again? I just want to know where you got that one from.
Missouri beat Paul Rodman, Paul Vuvle, or Paul Quinn, 91-55.
I'm going with Paul Quinn.
Rick, Raymond, you are correct.
Yes.
Missouri beat Paul Quinn, 91-55. There is no Paul Rodman, and believe it or not, there is no Paul Vuvle.
Where did you get Paul Vuvle?
I made it up. Where did I get it? Where could I possibly get it? If it's not a real school, where I don't have like a treasure trove of spots I get fictitious schools from. All right, next up. This is a big battle. Kent State takes on Rogers Park, Gavin Park, or Point Park. Kent State will take on Rogers Park, Gavin Park, or Point Park. RJ, you start.
Point Park sounds like a real thing.
Okay.
I'm going to go Point Park.
Point Park, very good. Raymond?
See, Point Park sounds convincing. Rogers Park sounds convincing. What was the other one?
Gavin Park.
Even Gavin Park is actually... not terrible. It's not Paul Bublé University. I'm going to go with Rogers Park.
Rogers Park. Rick, we have one Rogers, 1 point.
I'm going to go with Rogers Park.
Okay. RJ, you're the only winner here. Kent State taking on Point Park in a big, big battle. And lastly, you've heard of VMI, right? Virginia Military Institute? Yes, I'm sure you have. Who are they taking on? Pikes Peak, Clark's Summit, or Nazareth Tabone. What? Sam Houston State, Hammers, Letourneau, Lawarno, or Lashorno. All right, Virginia Military takes on Pikes Peak, Clark Summit, or Nazareth Tabone. Raymond, you go first.
I mean, same energy. Yes, Lawarno, Lashorno. Same exact energy. What was the first one? Pikes Peak?
Pikes Peak,
yeah.
Clark's Summit, oh. Or Nazareth Tabone.
Let's go with Pikes Peak. Nazareth Tabone. Right.
Nazareth Tabone. I want that to be the school so bad.
Oh. All right. Rick, you're up. You know your three options here.
I want that to be the school so bad. Oh. I also want to win the game. I'll go with... What was the one? Clark Summit. I'll go with Clark Summit.
Clark Summit. We got one Pikes Peak, one Clark Summit, Nazareth Tabone available for you if you'd like, Garden.
Now, I know the logical thing would be not to take Nazareth's Tabone.
No, you got to take the bone. You got to take the bone.
But I'm taking Nazareth Tabone. Yes. I think they play Glor next.
All right. Virginia Military will be taking on Clark's Summit tonight. Nazareth Tabone, believe it or not, was homemade. I made that up all on my own.
Or they beat Glor.
Oh, goodness.
Santy took Pike's Peak.
That sounds real.
No, it doesn't.
It sounds more real than Nazareth Tabone.
No, it doesn't.
In all honesty, I can't even get through Nazareth Tabone. It's like, okay, whichever one was the first one, I was just going in the complete exact opposite direction of Nazareth.
How about Paul Bublé? Oh, Paul goodness. Paul Bublé. Oh, it's a French cooking school. All right, you can stop the music.
Nazareth Tabone.
Oh, goodness.
Thanks for listening to the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Buster, I'm glad we're all back in good graces. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. We welcome you into what is a very, very wonderful day to be a Mets fan.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's no doubt about it that, you know, this and the moves they've made in the last 5 days is a full manifestation of why, at the time that Steve Cohen bought the Mets, that Mets fans should be excited. Because let's face it, on the face of them, for a lot of teams, the deals they've made, including the Scherzer contract, there's a lot of risk, but because of Steve Cohen's money, there isn't, right? I mean, they may not necessarily work out at the top of the, you know, the Mets rotation now. You have Jacob deGrom, who didn't pitch for the last 3 months. You don't really know what you're going to get out of him. You know, Max, given his age, there's going to be inherent risk there. You know, the other guys that they signed to round out, they're in their early 30s. But here's the thing. They didn't give up any, you know, assets from their farm system, and they clearly have gotten better through these moves. So, you know, hats off to Steve Cohen and the Mets.
All right, Buster, just quickly, because I saw your tweet. Dave and I were talking about this before the break. So we're going into a work stoppage tonight, which makes no sense to me. I get it. I've been a part of these CBA negotiations, but you see the amount of money being spent and everything else. So Max Scherzer signs for the 3 years, just over $43 million a year. And you have teams, more than one team, that is going to start the season with a payroll less for their whole team, less than Max Scherzer is making in one season. I mean, that seems ridiculous, but that's the reality of the situation. Do you imagine that something like that gets fixed with this new CBA?
I don't have confidence that it's going to. You're right. It's ridiculous. And here's the thing that's fascinating about this, having watched a lot of and covered a lot of labor issues. You know, we always talk about the haves and have-nots, and certainly well-established on the side of the owners, where you have, teams like the Guardians, you know, formerly known as the Indians, the Pirates, the Orioles, all going to have payrolls lower than what Max Scherzer is going to make. And you would hope that at some point that there would be some sort of an adjustment, any tanking measures that would force teams to spend. But that have-not dynamic is also developing within the players' ranks. You know, we're seeing all these incredible contracts being doled out. Max Scherzer's effectively the head of the union. And you know what? When you talk to people privately on both sides, the agents and the executives, they are cringing because at the back end of this, whenever there's a labor settlement, the middle class of players is going to get destroyed. The rank and file among the players, they're going to pay for this. And so overall, the player's share in the pie continues to shrink, and it will, if there's a labor stoppage at the end of this, unless there are major changes. But the two sides are not collaborating. They're not cooperating. They're not really throwing ideas back and forth in an aggressive way that can fix all of this. It kind of drives you crazy that the two sides' working relationship is that bad, because I think big picture, it's awful for the sport.
It's terrible for the sport. Buster only with us here, 98.7 ESPN. And it's, I mean, with what we have going on in this country and the fact that so many people are unemployed and there's a pandemic going on, and to have a sport which, let's be fair, is losing popularity, that is going to go through this kind of labor issue, it's just a bad look. So a couple of questions on that. How long do you think this goes on for? Realistically, are we going to start the season on time? And what do you think the end results? Like, are we going to see more teams in the postseason? Is the DH going to be incorporated now? What's the end result, and how long, your best guess, does it take?
So I had Jeff Passan on my podcast a few weeks ago, and we both had our guess. His was an agreement sometime in mid-February. I think that's a little too optimistic, as I told him. I think that there's not any real deadline until the two sides are afraid of losing money, which is at the start of the regular season. I think it's closer that there's an agreement in, say, March 10th, and you have a very truncated spring training, a rapid-fire, lightning round of free agent signings where, again, the middle class is just going to get absolutely gouged, and the changes will not be enormously substantive in terms of what the financial system is. I do think you'll have expanded playoffs. I think you'll have universal DH. You might have some agreement on, efforts on the field to change the sport, maybe some reduction in the number of relievers being used. But the fundamental parts of the financial system need to change will not be moved, because the two sides aren't really talking along those lines. I wish they would. I wish that you would, ensure that teams like the Orioles and the Guardians, the Pirates would contend. I wish that, they would improve the system so that the middle class of players, which has seen its average salary go from 11.6 in 2014 to 6.2 last winter in terms of the free agents, almost cut in half, that they would do better. But I have no confidence that that's taking place.
Yeah, it's happening in all the sports too, Buster. I mean, with salary caps, that's what happens. You got the young guys that are affordable. You got the superstars that get paid, and it's that middle class that gets screwed in the whole deal. So there was a lot of talk with what Steve Cohen has done, the amount of money that he spent. And, I mean, for Mets fans, we're ecstatic. But we always felt like this was inevitable, that he would spend the money. Some people have suggested that he was upset. You know, Steven Matz's agent, you saw that tweet and everything else, and that was the impetus for him to start spending. I think it was more, and tell me if I'm wrong, was that when he bought the team, there was some concern from other owners that he would just come out and start spending like a drunken sailor. So was it him just in year one, he makes the deal for Lindor, gets him locked up, but being more respectful, and now, in year two is when he really felt like he could kind of go all out and sign the free agents that he wanted?
I think actually that it's because he probably, and maybe he felt this way when he started, that he recognizes that's what they have to do in this moment, right? I mean, when you look at that team, they have legitimate holes, not knowing what DeGrom's going to bring them. They had to add. They don't really have an alternative if they're going to, meet his goal of winning a World Series now within the next 2 to 4 years. This is what he had to do. And there are so many owners in the sport who at this moment would retreat and say, nope, not going to do that. We're going to play the long game, quote-unquote rebuild. We're going to throw it back in. You give him credit because he's throwing his money. And let's face it, in all these cases, You know, Eduardo Escobar and you know, Canna and Marte and Scherzer, they overpaid. You know, they paid at the top end, but you know, the great thing is they can do that. And that was what was so exciting about him taking over the team, because they would finally act like a big market team. You know, much in the same way when George Steinbrenner took over the Yankees, he threw a ton of money at it and got guys like Catfish and Reggie Jackson and, you know, began to build a great team. The question, of course, I think everyone wants to know is, you know, will this actually manifest? We don't know. They do have a lot of questions on their roster.
All right, so what's next? I mean, they have a lot of bullpen improvement to make. Are they done with the starting rotation? Is there a chance Javi Baez comes back? Because it looks like the Tigers are hot on the heels of Baez. So what's next? What happens now?
Yeah, Baez and the Tigers are moving toward an agreement. You know, 6 years is going to be something, I believe, in the range of $21 million a year, almost $125 million. Look, we talked about how when there's a restart, you know, if in fact there's a labor stoppage, when there's a restart, you get that lightning round. Any team that has financial flexibility at that moment is going to clean up. Like, there are going to be so many guys looking for jobs at close to minimum, and I think the teams that are going to be potentially best poised to take advantage of that, the Mets, the Yankees, because the Yankees really haven't done anything this winter, the Giants, the Dodgers, actually, who've lost some guys, those teams are going to swoop in and get some really high-valued guys. So if you look at the Mets roster now, I don't think there's – it's not like you look at them and say, look, they have to get, you know, this star, or they have to trade for this person. I think you can be patient if you're the Mets and wait to, you know, for the you know, it's going to be such a great buyer's market for those teams that actually have some dollars to put out there.
Buster only joins us here on the show. So speaking of the Yankees, Buster, we're getting some phone calls from Yankees fans that are a little, I don't want to say upset, maybe more concerned. I mean, last time we had you on, you mentioned, you know, Seager, you mentioned Semien. Those guys both get signed by Texas for $500 million. Brian Cashman said they were going to address the shortstop position. Where do they go now?
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's third tier. I mean, at this point, you know, if Baez agrees to a deal, you know, you potentially have Correa still out there. I have no indication. In fact, you know, sources are telling me Yankees organization yesterday, nothing major before, you know, this labor stoppage. Let's face it, this is all related to them holding their ammunition back for, you know, potentially for Aaron Judge to try to work something out with him and not spend a lot of money. It's a surprise. I think that during the summertime, when you talk to the executives of other teams, they assume that the Yankees would walk away with one of these five elite guys. You know, theoretically, they could go in on Trevor Story, but I think, you know, given the contracts where Marcus Semien's gone and where Baez is gone and Seager's gone, Story now may also be priced out of the Yankees' range. It's a surprise, and they, you know, you are being polite. Yankee fans are really angry, and you could hear in the voice of people I talked to yesterday in the Yankees organization, they're kind of battening down the hatches because they know they're taking a lot of flack, especially in comparison with what the Mets are doing.
All right, so two-part question. So do they pivot now and maybe go, you know, cheaper, better defensively at short, and then consider, you know, a trade for Matt Olson or a Brian Reynolds in the outfield? And second part of the question is, so today is also, I mean, the day to whether to decide whether or not you're going to tender certain players. What do the Yankees do with Gary Sanchez and Luke Voit?
Yeah, and I have not heard anything other than, you know, that they are going to hang on to those guys. You know, Voit's an interesting guy because he plays a position where there are not a lot of options. There are a lot of options, and you see, you know, first base is not really valued that highly. I can't imagine that the Yankees, you know, that's where their high payroll gives them the flexibility to buy some time to hang on to Luke and you know, maybe make a decision down the road. Olson is someone that they have a lot of interest in. And as this played out and we talk about, you know, the shortstop position, I got to tell you, an out-of-the-box idea would be Matt Chapman of the Athletics. He potentially, he's played shortstop in his past. You could, with those young guys coming up in their farm system, if you wanted to buy a year or two and you wanted to, you know, to try to fill that position until those guys are ready, that would be an interesting out-of-the-box idea that you would put him there. And we've seen other teams do that. Matt Chapman, you know, one of the elite defenders in baseball.
Wow. Interesting stuff. You dropped a lot of knowledge on us today, Buster. Listen, we appreciate it. We love that you come on with us again now and that we've, you know, gotten past all the issues. Is the lunch still on with you and I?
It is still on. We'll have to figure that out. Once we figure out what's going to happen with the labor stuff, because in theory, next week I'm going to the winter meetings, but I don't think anybody believes that that those are actually going to take place.
All right. I'm going to reach out to you. I'm going to get your number from RJ. I know you've given the green light on that. I will reach out. We're going to get the lunch on the calendar.
Yeah, and I have to bring my son, the Titans fan, and you guys can berate each other.
It looks great. I look forward to it. Buster, thanks, man. We'll talk to you real soon.
See you guys.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.